Welcome to the first ever episode of Talking to Myself, the podcast.
Yes, welcome. Very exciting.
Yeah. I'm Magda, and with me is my co-conspirator for this wonderful initiative, Tracy. And we are connected through the great circle of coaching slash coaching related, coaching adjacent stuff. And we thought that the things that we think slash the things that we say to each other could actually be useful to other people. So that is how this conversation has started. So Tracy, why don't we both kind of tell our viewers, our listeners, what Talking to Myself is all about in our own words, and why they should stay for the entirety of this episode and subscribe to future ones.
Ah, so much pressure.
I know.
So yeah, that's a perfect example of what Talking to Myself is, actually, is me saying things like, so much pressure. I have to do this. So we were having a wonderful conversation about our own ways of coaching ourselves out of situations. And I know that we both had something that was particularly raw. And that's how this all came up. But yeah, essentially talking to myself is something that I've done my whole life. And I used to just think that I was crazy. And obviously over the years, I've become a lot more aware of the voice or voices in my head. And now I'm starting to use that power for good. So whereas before it was just really annoying and kind of quite self-defeating the way that I would speak to myself, now I'm starting to add another voice in there. And I know that we've had really great conversations just about the journey that we've been on and learning how to self-coach and being able to kind of use our own internal voices to help us. And thought that maybe we've definitely, in having these conversations with each other, I know that I've felt like really helped by you talking about it. And I think when we just hear people talk about their own individual challenges and also wins, it can be at least at minimum totally relatable and funny and hopefully helpful and maybe even powerful for people. So that's why we're here.
I hope so too, that this podcast ends up being helpful and powerful for people, because like you, I've been talking to myself for many years, and I too thought myself a tiny bit crazy sometimes and a tiny bit annoying and definitely self-defeatist. If I think back to the darkest times of my life, it's definitely, I was, you know, hearing things from others that were making me hate myself, but at the end of the day, I was hearing them and I was interpreting them, and it was my internal voice that was amplifying or maybe even changing those things that made me not really be happy with myself. So my internal voice was not super helpful for a long time. And when I was able to kind of put some structure and put a name on it, when I heard about self-coaching being a thing that exists and a thing that's possible, that's when my internal voice, still a bit annoying sometimes, still a bit crazy, but it changed to be more productive and more helpful. So now when I talk to myself, it's to cope with things and to talk myself off a ledge sometimes even, right? Because we all go through ups and downs. And what I hope for this podcast to do for people is, yeah, at the very least relate and just, it's okay if you're like, you know what? I, as in you, the listener, am awesome. These two Polish, Canadian, American, Nicaraguan ladies are kind of little weird and they have problems that I never had. That's fine too. We're okay with that. We know we have lots of problems. But then maybe there's those of you who didn't know that other people were kind of self-defeatist or just, you know, talking to themselves negatively. And perhaps we can show you that it's okay to talk to yourself. And there's some reflections, questions that you can ask yourself to hopefully get to a point where talking to yourself is a positive power for good in your life. And it'll help you get to the good side, the solution, the acceptance at least of the problems that you are facing. So we are here to help. And in the process, we are going to air our very stinky, very dirty laundry. So are we happy with the context setting, Tracy?
I think we're good with the context setting. Yeah.
Excellent. So let's talk to ourselves slash each other, shall we?
Yeah. So where do we start?
Well, where we start is, I think let's echo back to our conversation that we've had when this podcast idea came to mind. And I forget how it started, but we ended up talking about, oh my gosh, the world has been so weird. But even though the pandemic is now, hopefully, knock on wood, in the home stretch, and we're going to go back to normal-ish. Normal-ish looks so different to everybody. And it comes with its own set of adjustments and changes, and frankly, anxiety. And we started talking about just social anxiety and what, you know, it's already hard enough for some of us to interact with other humans, but social anxiety now has so many other forms. There's, you know, Zoom anxiety. There's anxiety of encountering people. Literally yesterday, I went to a grocery store and mask mandates are now gone in my area. And I was in public without a mask for the first time because I'm fully vaccinated. It was the weirdest thing. Honestly, we can talk about it later. Like I felt like a leper. I almost put the mask back on, but I'm like, no, I'm vaccinated. I'm not near anybody. I'm still socially distancing. I'm following the guidelines. Stop beating yourself up, Magda. But like everyone felt like they were looking at me. I did have chimichurri in my teeth, I later realized. So it's possible that it was parsley in my teeth they were looking at, but who knows? So yeah, so we're just talking about social anxiety and how it got amplified in certain ways during the pandemic. And then going back into real life, whatever that is going to bring its whole other set of social anxiety. So yeah, let's maybe start there. Like what, you know, I get anxious. You said you get anxious sometimes. And there was a specific example that you experienced recently, which I don't know if you want to talk about that or something else, but maybe let's go through kind of examples of when we experience social anxiety and explore what that means and how we deal with it, etc.
Yeah, so I'm happy to talk about the recent example. I think that kind of plays into a couple of things. One of them is meeting people for the first time. And then the other one, Zoom anxiety, because those are very, and when those are synonymous, it's almost like an intersection of weird, of weird things, right? We never really know what to expect when we're going to be meeting like a bunch of people all at once. And especially in a role where there's an expectation of like, of one of us. And then on top of that, doing it in this like two-dimensional world where there's all these squares and like blank faces. And so, yeah, that's what I was faced with. I was going to be doing a small course. And it was one of those things that I was like, you know, it's completely, all week I sort of kept checking on my notes and I thought everything is fine. I'm ready. This is good. I'll just kind of go over things the day before and we'll be fine. And even that morning that, you know, I woke up and thought, looked at my notes again. I'm like, this is good. I'm just going to knock a few things out of the way and then I'll come back to it and just kind of sit with it and run through it a couple of times. And then I just went completely crazy.
Like, what does that mean? So just to be clear, you were going to be the instructor for a small course.
It's the day before. And I was feeling like everything was great, right? Like everything was great. Everything's under control. I know this material. It's all good, right? And, you know, in retrospect, I think maybe there was a level of, I think procrastination could be something that we talk about actually at some point. There maybe was, but it was almost like prioritization. It's like, no, I've got everything else under control. And this is literally just going to take an hour or two, you know? And it, all of a sudden, when I was ready to sit down, I just got gripped with like full anxiety, like to the point that I could feel like, you know, I almost feel like my throat starts closing up a little bit. I feel like my head is racing and I was just kind of frozen. And then I'm like, I don't have enough. I don't have enough material. I don't have enough material. So I started like, I went down this rabbit hole of probably 4 or 5 hours of random, like non-productive Google searches, pasting notes, doing all of this legwork for something that I'm doing the next day. And then probably having like 4 hours worth of content that I then had to like edit down into 90 minutes. And the funny thing is that I would say that out of all of it, yes, there was definitely some extra things on there that were great, but like most of it was what I had originally. And I just realized, I know when I was talking to you about it, it's partly that expectation of meeting new people, but also having a level of expectation of me and thinking like, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be my, like what it came down to is thinking that what I have to say isn't going to be enough. So now I need to like go in to an internet black hole of research to be able to prove that I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like self-doubt is the product of your anxiety.
Self-doubt. Yeah. So I think it was a combination of two things. I think it was I guess performance anxiety isn't necessarily what we're talking about here, but like it was a combination of performance anxiety, but more so related to the fact that there was going to be new people and I felt like I was going to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think that is a common element for me when it comes to social anxiety in general. Yeah.
And look, it's okay if there's multiple things, right? Like it's infrequent that we experience just one emotion. We're complex organisms, beings, creatures. So, you know, the social anxiety coupled with Zoom anxiety, coupled with performance anxiety, just sounds like a really terrible trifecta to have to deal with a couple hours before you're instructing a course. But, you know, life, you can laugh or cry. I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is anxiety, when you do feel anxiety, is it usually before something or like when do you experience the anxiety?
Yeah. So that's a good question. I was thinking about that. And I think the before is when I feel like I'm going to be rated on some level, like not like, I don't know the before is when I feel like there's going to be some level of expectation. Then I have the anxiety before. And then the otherwise, like in a normal event, I think don't have the awareness of the anxiety. So like, for example, if it's an event that I'm looking forward to, I think of it more like excitement, but it's probably a level of anxiety as well, because I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. But it can they're both strong emotions.
They're both strong emotions and they both have similar connotations, but I think it's because I don't have, see, it's interesting now that I talk about it. I think it's because I don't have the thoughts looping as much in other situations where I just think, oh, I'm going to be going to a party. Oh, I'm so excited to go to this party. You know what I mean? Like I'm actually looking forward to it and I feel this excitement. But then when I get there, I'm like, whoa, like so much anxiety. And I think it's just probably similar physical sensations. I just wasn't feeding it with like dread, thinking that, you know, people are going to judge me.
Interesting. So anxiety is the physical sensations of excitement plus overthinking.
Yeah. How does it show up for you when you feel it?
It really does depend. Like sometimes I get the lump in my throat, like you mentioned, not lump, you said closing up, but for me, it's like a lump in my throat sometimes. Sometimes it's like big time sweating. You know, we talked about dirty laundry, like seriously. other times, now I'm thinking too about this whole excitement. So I don't know if you recall the class that I was in with you a couple of days ago. you know, the more excited I get, the louder and faster I speak. And that's always been the case. And it's only actually, fun fact, been since I've started using kind of this self-reflection, self-coaching to manage my anxiety as much as I could, is when my speaking actually became more clear. I still speak fast, whatever, it's part of who I am, but like, I was hard to understand a lot. And there's, especially when I get anxious, like I would get stuck on the words, like, I physically couldn't get the words out. And when I did, it would just be like, and it was especially happened a lot with my parents, if I had to speak it in Polish, like, because I would have, again, the layers of anxiety. Like for me, it was, I have a, I guess a speech impediment, I'm not sure. I can't roll my R's. I never could. My roof of my mouth is too flat, I think. So like I physically cannot do it. And in Polish, you roll a lot of R's. It's a very, I can say it, so I'm not gonna try. So it caused me a lot of grief when I was a kid. And, you know, with my family too, like they would, you know how they like, you know, tease you and they say it's loving, but like you don't perceive it as loving, you perceive it as all they can see is me not being able to roll my R's. And like, it's haunted me until, well, it still does a little bit, but I've actually just stopped caring about that very much, but I used to care about it a lot. So, you know, it's me just being an anxious person coupled with my parents are saying something that is making me annoyed or angry or anxious or whatever, coupled with I can't roll my R's and to speak Polish. And like, honestly, sometimes things would just come out and like no one understands what I'm saying. And I would get embarrassed that I can't communicate. And then I would walk away and that would cause a whole other series of problems. Like it's just, you know, it's snowballs. So for me, anxiety is rarely a thing I experience by itself. Like it has repercussions, unfortunately. But yeah, recently the anxiety has been more around the sweaty palms and that judgment, that feeling of impending judgment. And it's not, are they gonna like me? It's, they're not gonna like me. They're gonna think that, yeah, I speak too fast, that I get too excited, and they're gonna think that it's fake, even though it's not, because it's who I am. It's just like I said earlier to you, I'm part dog. I swear that I have to be. I'm like a golden retriever deep down inside. What was I saying? Shiny object. See, retriever. So like I worry about all those things. I already assume that these are things that people are not going to like or appreciate or whatever. And I start from that point. And it just makes me feel like shit about myself. And, you know, that's when the self-talk happens. That's when the self-coaching, which now I know it's called self-coaching, but that's when that starts happening. Now that I understand that it literally is all in my head. I can't control how other people are going to react to me. I cannot control anybody, any entity, anything other than myself. And when I learned that, at least I can now reflect on that fact. So if I'm, you know, feeling like everyone in the room is going to hate me when they meet me, that's on me. And if they do, I literally can't do anything about it. And if they don't, I literally can't do anything about it. Like they make their own judgments. So stop trying to control them. So, you know, I kind of first go through what can I control and what can't I control? And I try to focus on the things I can control and, you know, my breathing, go wash your hands, like literally, because my hands are sweaty, grab some water and make myself a cup of tea, just something that I know I'm going to enjoy to maybe calm me down a little bit. And it just, it helps me kind of get off that initial, that sharpness that anxiety has for me. It's still there for a while, but at least I'm not going to panic. I know I'm not going to panic. So oddly enough, you know, it's funny because this right now, what we're recording right now is our first podcast, right? And we recorded a practice conversation a few days ago and we recorded it just in case something amazing came out. And I think it did, but it was almost 2 hours long. So I don't think we should publish that. But long story short, like before that session, I actually was quite anxious. It's not like this one, I know that I can talk to you. I know that we're fine. I actually know that someone accidentally listened to our previous conversation and how inappropriate it was. And he thought it was quite funny. Also maybe a little too oversharing, but like, I feel like because I know that one person didn't think it sucked, maybe at least two people won't think it will suck. So I'm like, I'm okay right now. I have zero anxiety right now. I'm just like chatting to Tracy and it's and Charlie behind her. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. So what do you think is the distinction between it? Is it because we kind of got the first one out of the way? Like, is it because this isn't the first? Or what is it that's different about these two things?
I think it is because it's not the first. Like I know that I'll be fine. But at the same time, like, I'm negating myself already in my mind because I've had social interactions, right? The example that I shared with you was from a few years ago, but it got triggered this past weekend was about a party my neighbors were having. And I was so anxious about meeting their friends. And just like, all I was thinking was, okay, if their friends and family think I'm the crazy Polish lady next door, I have to live with these people. And they're going to start hating me. And I want to have a friendly relationship with my neighbors. And I want their dog to come to my yard. And, you know, and just all these things started spiraling. I literally gave myself a migraine. I was so anxious about that potential judgment. And again, it wasn't my first time actually, you know, meeting neighbors. It wasn't my first time going to a party. But I guess I didn't recognize that back then. So yeah, I gave myself a migraine. Like, I genuinely had the most terrible, terrible headache. I had to turn the lights off. Like, I sat on my couch and I watched in the dark. I watched some stupid show on Netflix and ate ice cream and drank wine for like a good 10 hours straight. And because my dog was hanging out with my parents, I didn't have to, you know, walk him or anything like that. So I had an excuse for just, you know, stewing in my own filth, so to speak. And yeah, it was depressing and it was terrible. And I guess because I've had all the reflections about my anxiety since, in the, you know, 3-4 years since, yeah, once the first thing's out of the way, like I know it'll be fine. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Nothing. Like, we had a conversation, we had a good time. Somebody will listen to it or they won't. Like, I'm not going to lose my health, my job, my anything over it. Like, I know that you and I can be open with each other. So like, what's it to be scared of? Nothing. Yeah. And what's the best that could happen? Somebody else listens to it and they're like, oh yeah, I too gave myself a migraine because I thought that people would judge me and I didn't go to the party. And then I gave myself a second migraine for judging myself, for having judged myself for not going to the party. And I gave myself FOMO for missing the party. I've been down the spiral. So, you know, that's the best that could happen. So I think, like, I pulled the Band-Aid off with you in the first conversation. Now I know that it's okay. Like, literally, I can't think of the worst that could happen anymore because it's not really bad. So who cares? Let's just talk.
Yeah. That's great. It's interesting how you talked about what's the worst that can happen, because I have to use that a lot with myself as well. It's like, what's the worst thing that can happen here? And I was thinking about that. I'm like, is that a healthy thing or not? But I think it is. I try to look at it like, what is the very worst thing that can happen? If that happens, what will I do? Right. And then I'm like, okay, so then I'll be okay. Like, I'm not going to, like you said, die. I'm not going to like have no friends and, you know, ever again in my entire life. And
you always have me.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I just have to hitch a ride to Chicago.
Yeah.
So I try to think about that, but also what I've been doing kind of more from a coaching thing is I'll do that. And then I think now, but what do I want to happen? Like, not what the best thing that's going to happen, because then that's, I think, setting myself up for like, oh, I want to be absolutely perfect. Like that I have to get away from, but it's more like, what would I like to happen here? Like, how can I approach this from what I want to happen versus all the like worst case scenario things that have been racing through my head? And have you found that sometimes taking that worst case scenario out of your head and actually like analyzing it and saying it to yourself, I guess it's still in your head if you're saying it to yourself, but you know what I mean? When you're actually like asking and answering questions to yourself in a way, that it helps it also look kind of stupid. You're like, what the fuck? I was worried about this.
Oh, most definitely. It definitely makes sense. And it's sometimes stupid or sometimes just like, it takes the edge off it, if nothing else. And like, I know that we're talking about, you know, reflections and self-coaching in your head, but I do sometimes say this out loud. Like I talk to myself and I talk to myself. I say, Magda, like really? This really is bugging you? Like I will say it out loud. And the second you verbalize it, I feel like, or write it down. I just feel like that physical expression of the fear or whatever it is already takes it down a notch. And that's when, and once it's there in front of me in words, written or spoken, then yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, this is really stupid. Like why am I stressing? Just get over yourself. So sometimes it really is that easy.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I was thinking about it, it's kind of like if you're hiding underneath a bed and you're just like only peeking out a little bit, then every shadow in the room is going to seem huge, right? Because you don't actually know what it is. And kind of getting it out in the open where you're like, oh, this is the worst thing that can happen. Like, isn't that bad? It doesn't involve like a very painful public death, right? Mm. And if it did, I wouldn't be going there. For sure.
Exactly. To me, it's practical too, because, you know, when, look, we don't know, people who are listening, we don't know when they experience social anxiety. And by the way, we'd love to know. So if you are listening, you know, find us on the socials. We are, what are we, Talking to Yourself Pod, P-O-D, on the socials. Tell us like when you experience social anxiety and how you experience it. But you know, it could be something little and could be something super, super big and valid. And for me, when I verbalize that, what's the worst that could happen? It's also kind of like, yeah, a tick mark. Like, is this a risk that I'm willing to take? If everything, all of my assumptions, my negative assumptions do come true, am I okay with that? Like, am I going to be able to live with myself? And yeah, I need to be able to say yes. This is not going to change my life to the point where I can't go on living. When is the bigger serious stuff, right? Not like, should I wear this color top? Because people are going to think I look whatever, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's a way of kind of like de-risking it, hopefully making it less scary.
Yeah. I like that idea of like, it's almost like analyzing the risk and deciding, because then you're making a choice. It's like, okay, it's the worst thing that can happen. I'm still okay with it. I'm going to choose to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. as opposed to feeling like you're stuck doing it.
Yep.
Right.
And if you don't do it, that's also your choice. You took something that was hanging over you and giving you the anxiety, and you took control over it. You took control over it and you decided this is not something I'm willing to do, but not because of some abstract, oh my gosh, what will happen reason? No, it's because I thought about what are the consequences. I am not comfortable with them. And therefore I am making a choice to stay home and not go to the party.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I've done that a couple of times and always been, I say a couple of times because I'm like severe FOMO. So I used to sometimes
go.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I used to sometimes go, even though I wasn't feeling like I should, that dangerous word. And then
it would shoot on yourself, Tracy.
I know. And then I'd be regretting it. Then I'd be like, why did I go? I knew I wasn't in the headspace. So whenever I would actually make the decision, you know what? I think I need some like alone time today. Like, I think I just, yeah, I've been looking forward to this for a while, but right now I'm better off lying in bed, watching Netflix, you know, cause I'm PMSing and I'm miserable. And I've actually like made those decisions and then felt really, really proud of myself for doing that and thought, why don't I do this more often? So yeah, I like that. It's like sometimes you weigh out the risk and you think, okay, what happens if it's that coaching thing that we do, like, what if I do this? And what if I don't do this? What will and won't happen? And sometimes the side of the don't is higher. And then we would have at least made that decision ahead of time, as opposed to, and I want to ask you about this, that retroactive social anxiety. Do you get that?
Yeah, sometimes. So I think not as much anymore. It used to show up like the FOMO thing. And it actually used to show up when I used to be, like, I had this excuse for myself that I'm on Facebook because I want to see what others are doing. It was not good for my soul. And I have not checked Facebook in months now. Like, I've a couple of times a notification that someone commented and or asked me a question. So like, I log in just to reply, so they don't think I'm being a dick. But other than that, I don't look at Facebook anymore. And my post-social anxiety has diminished a lot. I used to, not just anxiety, what do you call it? Like, well, I guess if we accept that anxiety and self-judgment go hand in hand, then it is anxiety. But yeah, it was like, why was I not good enough to be included in this? Why is this person look so happy with this situation where I was in a similar one and I wasn't happy? And like, I'm an analytical person. I think I'm smart. Like, I know that social media is not life. I get that. And I get that Facebook specifically is definitely airbrushed. It's not what it seems. And even knowing that, I was still going to that place of, you know, let's say I went to the freaking party. Let's say I had a great time. And then I see pictures and there's 30 and I'm none of them. Mm. First thought that I'm going to think of, oh, they don't like me. Or my dress wasn't pretty enough, which also equates they don't like me. It doesn't serve me. So, you know, I guess I never really thought about the fact that I do use the four coaching questions. when I talk to myself, when I evaluate, you know, the possible outcomes, like what's, you know, if this doesn't happen, what's gonna happen to me? How am I gonna feel about it? What consequences will my actions or lack of actions have on my future and my well-being? And what's also helped, actually, and we can talk about the Zoom thing because it's a funny one. So I'm in my office and I put some wallpaper on this wall because I thought it'd be nice of a background. And then the way that the light is in this room is just really uncomfortable sitting this way. So I turned this way and it's a white wall and just kind of blah, whatever. And I thought about painting it because I look at other people's backgrounds on Zoom, like, you know, your pretty pillows with your, you know, wooden wall and your gorgeous paparono peeking out from behind you. And I do think about that. It's just so stupid. Like, of course, I shouldn't be jealous of your background. But I did think about that at one point during this recent craziness, like to that point. And then, you know, we have webinars at Coacharia every week. Afterwards, I'm like, oh, that person really thought about the background. They have, like, you know, all the books, etc. I wonder in the video later, is people gonna be like, oh, Magda doesn't even care about, you know, this because she's got a white wall. And just like, I just did an introduction. Like, my face was on there for 2 minutes. Why the fuck do I even care about this? Like, why? So I suppose that is like the, you know, post-social anxiety. The ship has sailed. There's literally nothing I can do about it. So like, that's the thing that I bring myself to at that point is it's over. Like, literally, if I made an impression, it's done. Get over yourself. So why are you laughing, Tracy?
I'm laughing because I can relate to so much of what you said. So first of all, how many fucking probably important things that I have missed because I'm analyzing whether or not someone's background is a virtual one or not. I'm like, that's too nice to be a real background. Is it? And I'm like, I think it is a real. Do they actually read those many fucking books? Like, oh, I notice how they have that one propped up just like that. Like, so judgmental. So judgmental.
And the thing is that if they have the book propped up, it probably is for a reason. They're trying to send a signal. And then sure. You're like, oh, well, probably. I don't know that actually. I just made an assumption again. Anyway.
But that's what I do. And I've learned about that. And I want to come back to that because I've learned about the judgments. I used to think like, I'm a terrible person that I'm judging people in my head like this. Right. But I think we all do it. We to some level. I was talking about this with someone last night, but also like, I know when I'm feeling that judgment, it's because I'm judging myself. Right. So when I'm judging someone else, so I have a funny story. You know how you had the, I hadn't told you this and I won't name names, but you know how you had the Awake, Aware, Arise series
conference thingy.
You know how I was introducing some of them. And so this one day I just had so much anxiety and I can't remember exactly what was going on for me, but, and typically I had, I would go ahead of time and sort of look to see who the speakers were and kind of get a sense of, and then ask them if they wanted to be introduced and all of those things. Right. But in this one occasion, I hadn't done that. I was coming in from something else. And it was two of the more, I don't want to say important, but like more featured people. Right.
Yeah.
So I came in and I was just like, bubbling with anxiety. And so I said to him, I said, so you probably prefer to introduce yourselves, right? which did not go over. And definitely they're like, no, you can introduce us. And I was like, fuck. But the funny thing is what was going on in my head was like so pompous. but like, it wasn't, it was because I was judging myself being like, you're not ready. And you're gonna make an idiot out of yourself, and like all of these things were going on. So then I was trying to get out of it without actually like being vulnerable and saying, hey, like I'm kind of worried that I'm gonna screw this up, like are you okay to do this? I was just like, you probably prefer to do this. And of course that person said no, probably because they're going through their own shit of feeling like they're about to give a 90-minute webinar and don't want to have to think about introducing themselves, which is awkward at all times. But I immediately jumped to, I can't believe that person won't do that. Like, this is how our minds work when we're feeling judged. We leap to judgment. Sorry, that was a rant.
That's pretty funny. I'm going to have to watch this webinar now. No, I relate. And you know, it's, that's why I think the whole like self-coaching, talking to yourself is helpful too. And literally speaking things out loud, because you can go through all these motions without necessarily consequences and yeah, kind of get through the moment, even though like the facts have not changed. So, you know, not everyone, for example, would be comfortable being vulnerable. Like I usually tend to be, because like, again, I don't know how to hide things usually for worse. But you know, in the case when I didn't do my homework for the speaker, like I'll tell him like, look, I'm really sorry. I should have, but I didn't. So can you please just tell me like the three things that you want me to say, or can you introduce yourself? And I'm okay with that, because I'm slightly ashamed to say that I've done it more than whatever. See, I'm judging myself. I'm a bad person for not preparing, blah, blah. But I've done it. I know I've done it. Some people might not be, right? It's hard to be vulnerable, especially if you have not been vulnerable very much with yourself and others. But having that kind of self-talk allows you to ease into it, even if it is just to analyze, you know, the options of the what's the worst that could happen, what's the best that could happen, you know, what are the consequences, without taking the act yet of opening your mouth. It does take a bit of self-control to take that pause. And to notice that, yes, I'm being anxious. Something is up. So I'm gonna just freeze for a second in my brain and try to understand what the heck is happening. Like that takes practice for sure.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice, and we're not built that way, right? Like we're literally in that fight, flight, or freeze. And it's interesting that you were talking about how sometimes that shows up as not having the words. Like you're talking about that with language. And I remember reading about that is one of the things about anxiety. So the reason that we stumble for words is that we are not using that part of our brain. Like we're in when we're in the activation mode. So there's been a really, what's helped me as well is also learning a little about trauma and some of the tools that you can use. Because then when I've noticed now myself, and I bet you probably naturally use them, but when I notice myself being super activated, like really like highly charged and like I can't think and I'm, you know, then I'll either like, I usually have something nearby that I can put into my hand. So I'll do this and I'd like fidget underneath the screen. And so try to kind of move a little bit of the energy that I feel is like struggling to get out of my mouth over here. Or yeah, just take a pause, like let out like a longer out breath or kind of look around the room, remind myself that like I can look away from the screen. All of those things help. But the problem is that it's like actually being self-aware to do that in the beginning, like to begin with.
Yeah.
That you have to get to, because otherwise it's like, you can have all the tools. We probably all have our own tools, but if you're like charging right into, you know, that panic zone, it's pretty hard to remember to like pull back and do that.
But you know what? Like, I think anyone who is listening or watching this at least has had enough self-awareness to know that potentially they have, well, in this case, social anxiety, right? So that already tells you that you have the capacity to notice it more. And it's sometimes when these things get pointed out, do we notice them? My, you know, with the whole not finding words thing, my parents would say things to me for years. And I didn't connect that I wasn't, that I was speaking too fast and I was slurring my words. It wasn't because I didn't know them. It's because there was something else that was happening and they were pointing it out and it still didn't click. It's only when I put the two together that I start noticing and I started taking a deep breath so that I can at least stop the slurring from coming out first, that I can, you know, take that pause and maybe try to say things differently. But, you know, that's kind of that was the first thing for me, right? Becoming aware that this is actually might be a thing that I have. And then just, you know, you pay attention and, you know, perhaps when you have next time that you're feeling anxious and you felt anxious and you did not deal with it well, afterwards, when you realize that you're anxious, it's okay to just think backwards and be like, oh, okay, so this is how I felt. Like I felt like there was a lump in my throat. And sometimes just identifying that I felt, even though I didn't deal with the problem very well, I felt there's a lump in my throat. So next time there's a lump in your throat, maybe that's going to trigger the thought of, hold up, something else happening because there's a lump in my throat. Last time this happened, something bad happened. So it's like, it's a work in progress. And, you know, I also want to be honest about something. For me, like, of course, self-coaching has been amazing and it's been life-changing and it's helped me manage my social anxiety, especially quite a bit. Not work in progress, but, you know, I went on medication. Talk about judgment, like, because of how people who take mood medication are portrayed, I think, in TV and movies, I always thought, oh, if you take meds, you're, you know, a drug addict waiting to happen. And in my family, like, it wasn't a thing that was accepted. And I don't know if anybody else, frankly, takes meds in my family, because it's not something that they would have talked about and that I would know about. So I never had that comfort. And, you know, even in high school, like, if there was, you know, oh, that kid tried to commit suicide, now he's on antidepressants. Like, that wasn't a compassionate thing people would say. It was a judgmental, terrible thing that this person is so screwed up that not only did they try to take their own life, but they also not have to be medication versus, like, you know, fuck, like, it's crazy to even think about this. So yeah, it's been about 3 years that I started taking anti-anxiety, like nothing crazy, but it's changed things. Like it's helped me on those times when I can't notice that something is up, where I don't have that self-capacity to pause. It's helped me get to the point where, you know, I can. And I'm not advocating, you know, either way. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a counselor. I'm not any of those things. I'm just a human who, you know, I had all these judgments that told me this is how you should be. This is the way to deal with problems. This is not okay. And freaking took me 37 years of literally, like, I honestly, Tracy, I need to find some pictures. Like, if I look at old pictures of me, I know that my anxiety showed up physically also in my jaw. And I clench. I don't grind, but I clench. And I now I wear a night guard. And I had Botox injections, especially in this side, just to relax the muscle. I had a couple of times. I could get better every time. because just you could see physically, like my jaw was more angular and here it just looked bigger because of that's how my anxiety was showing up. And yeah, I had the Botox in my jaw and yeah, with the medication, like it literally has helped me release my muscles and it's worked for me. And I just needed to say that because if you think that it's not okay, I mean, whatever, pass your own judgments, but I promise you, deal with things. And like, if something doesn't work, don't keep expecting a different outcome by not changing something. It's okay to try different methods, meditation, whatever. There's so many ways to deal with anxiety. What we talk about, the self-coaching, is not the only way. We think it's really helpful. You should try it. Start talking to yourself. But don't be ashamed if there's something else that works for you.
Yeah. And it's like we tell people, even with coaching, like coaching and self-coaching, they're so powerful, but also sometimes there's other things that are more appropriate, right? Like sometimes therapy is the more appropriate choice. Sometimes medication is the more appropriate choice. So it's not like, oh, do you have an anxiety disorder? Don't worry. You can self-coach your way out of it, because likely right. You can't if it's at that level. And like, even when I was describing to you what happened with me last week, like every resource I tried to use on myself didn't work. Like if I had at least had a pill that day, I might have not tortured my body, because I just couldn't, like, I was trying to move it out. I was trying to meditate it out. I was trying to like journal it. I was doing everything and it was just there and I didn't sleep that night and it was still there in the morning. And I'm lucky in that I have, up until now, been able to power through and function on it, but like at also what cost? Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to take a pill for it. So yeah, it doesn't happen to me enough, but if that was my daily or weekly state, I would have to consider something else, because it's just that level.
That's what I did, because the talking, especially the slurring, it was happening so much. I found it hard to communicate with my, in Polish, especially with my parents. And when I connected that this is really like all from anxiety, I'm like, you know what? I have to try this because it's affecting my relationships. I need to get over myself. So it wasn't like I accepted medication is okay. No, I just said to myself, Magda, get the fuck over yourself. You're not that special. If this means that people think you are whatever, less than, who cares? You need to fix this so you can talk to your parents without this. And I'm glad I did, but definitely had its own types of judgments. But yeah, I'm curious, Tracy. So like you woke up with this example and I know the class went really well objectively, because we've received some awesome feedback from people. And I mean, you're awesome, which I can say, even if you can't sometimes. So what happened? Did you get over the anxiety or did it go into the class and continued? What happened?
What I had to do in order to be able to hold space, and I can do it in this case, or that's what helps me. So, you know, you always talk about, we talk about this in coaching. It's like kind of going to your mission or going to your purpose. And in this case, I'm like, there are a bunch of people that are really interested in learning this about this and are excited for this. And I can't let my insecurities get in the way. You know, so it's like, get over, like, so for me, it was kind of like, if I show up freaking out because I think I'm going to do poorly, then I'm going to ruin everyone else's experience and do poorly, you know, but, and so that helped. But I mean, would I say that I was like, I wasn't in my complete flow, you know? But yeah, I was able to get through it. And then the funny thing is afterwards, the funny thing is, that's what I want to talk to you about, is post, because then it's this like remembering, like I'm scanning my memory for everything that I think could have gone wrong. And then I'm like mentally rewinding it and watching it in like in slow motion again and again and again. And I did this for about, this is all just mental. I did this for about 45 minutes, thinking, I'm not going to watch the recording. I'm not going to watch the recording. And then I went and watched the recording like compulsively. And then I'm analyzing, like, was this person like scrolling through their screen, you know, like I'm starting to do this. I must have lost their attention. Like just my own worst critic, like absolutely my own worst critic. And in the end, like, that's, I think, where it comes down to perfectionism for me, because yeah, it did go well, you know. Could it have been better? Yeah, everything always could be better. But I have this expectation of myself that I'm going to be perfect every single time. So like the one or two mistakes that I know I've made, and there are more than one or two, but I'm just saying the one or two mistakes that I know I've made are the ones that are like standing out. It's like, it's funny because I went to get a pedicure the other day or the other week, and always I managed to like nick a little tiny part of my toenail, right? Like, and then the nail polish comes off, and I was looking at my feet and I'm like, it's funny that I have 9 perfectly painted toenails and 1 almost perfectly painted toenail. And yet I've let 1 little tiny like chip ruin my entire pedicure for me. Cause every time I look at it, that's all I see is that little chip.
You have some issues, man.
I do, but talking about it with you helps, like writing it down helps, like getting it out so that I'm like, oh, you know, if you heard anyone else talking to, like, if I would be ashamed to talk to somebody else the way I talk to myself, you know? So then when I actually pull it out into open and I'm like, this is what I'm doing, I'm able to kind of put a little more space. Mostly, most of the time, when it feels a little less painful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how we are such hard judges of ourselves, and we would never, ever use the kind of language or conclusions onto a loved one or even a stranger. I could not imagine doing it.
No, not even a stranger, not even somebody I don't like. Like, yeah. I'd have to be really angry, you know, to want to. And when I say like, it's funny because I was about to question, like, is it really all that terrible? But yeah, when you're telling yourself people aren't going to like you, people are going to judge you, you sounded stupid, right? Like, these are words that are coming up. And like, why did you do that funny thing with your chin? So I remember when I first started having to watch coaching recordings, I wasn't even paying attention to my coaching. All I was doing was paying attention to my chin, my wrinkles, like how many times I was touching my hair.
So. See, that's why I don't watch my recordings, because then I have no choice. I'm just like, you know what? It's going to stress me out. I've got other things to do. But yeah, so it sounds like both of us are a work in progress. That's okay. This is why we are here. This podcast is not about us having all the answers. It's about having some things to think about, maybe an occasional answer. And one hopes having some growth for ourselves as well, not just those who are listening.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tracy, I think maybe let's think about some goals that we want to achieve for ourselves. And perhaps in the next episode, let's get those out in the open. And, you know, for the first 10 episodes or first 20 or something, like, what do you want to achieve through this podcast for yourself?
Yeah. I think in some ways, having this conversation with you will help me be a little more accountable to myself for these things. So I think I would like to achieve a level of accountability, like knowing that we're going to be talking every single week. So it's like when we are realizing these patterns, let's say, and looking to address them, then knowing that I'm going to be coming back and chatting with you about it a week from now is going to help. And, you know, thank God we don't have all the answers, because that'd be kind of boring. Right? No one would want to listen to us. It's so annoying when somebody's like, well, why don't you just do that? So that's what we're not here doing. But I think for me, when I think about what I want to work on, is being more aware in the moment, I think, versus having to do all that work So even that day that I told you when I started going downhill, I realized afterwards when I was reflecting on it, that I think it was initially just my body being like, don't underestimate this. Like, don't, because I had kept saying, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And it was kind of like, no, pay attention. Like, this is important. Like, you don't want to under prep, because I've done that before, AKA not having read the paragraph about the speakers, right? So, and it was that alert, but I wasn't listening to that. What I was doing was, oh my God, I'm getting anxious. Oh no. And I kind of ran with like getting carried away about the literal emotion that I was feeling, instead of actually like digging into what is this coming from? Like, what message is this telling me? And like, how can I address that? I kind of just got caught up with the symptoms in a way. Mm. So I think that's what I want to be a little more aware of for myself. It's like, instead of going into this pace where I'm like completely flared up and trying to manage it, it's like listening to that little voice that's maybe just being like, hey, pay attention, maybe like spend a little more time on this to begin with. And then afterwards, maybe just giving myself a break. Yeah.
I like it. For me, I think it's, I tend to have this, my negative little inner voice says a lot, well, who are you to say this? Like, who are you to give advice? Who are you to even say anything that anyone should listen to? I have this little imposter, it's more than imposter syndrome, because it's like, even sharing experiences, my thought is, okay, well, that's your experience. Like, why should anybody else have to listen to your crap, which doesn't happen to them? So Magda, get back in your lane. So for me, I think it's giving myself more credit that there's things I've been through, that I've learned from, that actually have the potential of helping others, even if it's just to, you know, make them feel like they're less alone or something, like just giving more authority to my own experience, I think, is maybe what I'm trying to say. And even saying it just feels really funny, because all of a sudden in my head, what I'm thinking is, stop trying to position yourself as an expert. Like, you're not. Shut the F up, Magda. This is a chat just for you and Tracy. Like, it's terrible. But at least I'm aware of it. So like, I know that I'm aware of it. And yeah, so I'm willing to come to these sessions with open heart and open mind and open will. And just kind of see what happens. And I'm not going to watch them probably. I'll watch them for editing, but that's it. I know that I'm not going to edit anything where I'm just like, oh, you look a little funny, or what you said is a little bit embarrassing. No, I'm not going to care. That's something I'm committing to, because I think if I've said it, then clearly, at least subconsciously, I thought there was some value in saying it. So I'm going to freaking stick to what I say. There's no erasing.
Amazing. No erasing. You know, when nope. When I first started learning how to use the YouTube editor, I used to try to edit out every time I said,
Yeah, no, not so, happening here.
No erasing.
Sorry, viewers and listeners, you're going to have to be used to us.
Sort of, kind
it's
of.
It's your choice to listen or not, right? Not my problem. Not my circus, not my monkeys. Yeah. Actually, in this case, it is my circus, isn't it? It's our circus. Anyway, I don't think that saying works for this situation. Ignore me.
One other thing I just thought of as well that I think would be good is because you and I have both talked about how we're both hard on ourselves in different ways, right? Is also reflecting, instead of like what, I mean, yes, it's always good to be what could I have done differently, but also taking the time to be like, what did I do right here? Like, yeah, you know, when you talked about like sometimes making the right choice or being able to get past all of the shit that's driving us and still manage to function in day-to-day life on some level, you know? So it's like, how can we acknowledge ourselves for the ways that we are learning already and growing
Excellent. I like it. This is a journey and we're on it together. And I think on that note, it's a good place to finish for today. We've explored a lot of stuff around social anxiety and self-coaching and just anxiety in general and self-judgment. But we want to make sure that all these sessions are practically useful and hopefully powerful, but at least useful to those of you who are listening and watching. So at the end of each session and also in our episode notes, both on YouTube and in the podcast, we will have some, you know, homework, some reflection prompts. And I'm going to say it so that I have to do it. We're going to do a little companion app as well. If you want to write down your reflections, that you actually can, and you can revisit them perhaps at the end of the 10 episodes or 20 or however many we do to begin with. But yeah, there's going to be homework. So let's start off easy. And this week, it's just going to be reflections, just, you know, thinking about the kinds of stuff that we have talked about. So one of them is noticing when you have anxiety. And hopefully now that you know that it's possible that you have anxiety, you're going to be more aware of the fact that you may be having anxiety. So next time you're feeling anxious, or even after, where you know, yeah, that was anxiety, try to pause. And if it helps to write it down, write it down. But even just thinking through it, you know, where is it showing up in your body? Like, what does the anxiety actually feel like? What's the physical emotion you're going through? What is it that's actually making you anxious? And what is the thing that you're resisting? Is it that, yeah, I'm not gonna elaborate. What is the thing that you're resisting? Because it's gonna be different things for everybody. And, you know, if you've managed to catch your anxiety as it's happening, or, you know, at the beginning of it, and you're able to take this pause, you know, ask yourself the questions around, you know, what if, what's gonna happen if I proceed? What's gonna happen if I stop? Am I okay with what's gonna happen if I proceed? Am I okay with what's gonna happen if I stop? Like, just have the internal dialogue with yourself so that whatever decision you make, it's your decision and you can feel good about owning it because of the decision you made. It's not something that you just fell into because anxiety took over. It's okay if you still don't go ahead, but it's your choice and you made it. And it's going to feel better, I promise.
Yeah.
Anything else, Tracy?
Yeah, I think that's so good, kind of bringing back the choice like we talked about. And then also when we talked about, like, what am I resisting, right? What is it also that I can give myself at this moment? Because we can't change a lot of times the circumstances around us, but what is it that I need that I can give myself at this moment? And whether that's while it's happening or after, mm-hmm. and maybe that's even just forgiveness.
Or a snack.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious, because you know, we don't want you to limit your thinking. Sorry, we don't want you to limit just to kind of the scopes that we've talked about, right? It's okay to reward yourself if the choice you made was, okay, I'm going to push through. I'm going to go to the party. And I personally, like, whenever I have to be on, like, I'm really good at that. I can be a social butterfly, but I'm exhausted afterwards. So you better believe that if I have good ice cream in the fridge, I will be eating that ice cream. And in my mind, I will be thinking of it as, you know what, I deserve this. Like, I got through this. I feel good. I don't think I've hurt anyone's feelings. No one died. My arms are still attached. I'm going to have some ice cream. That's okay too. Whatever works for you. Just don't, no, it's not whatever. No hurting of people, not hurting of creatures. Those are not rewards. Those are terrible. I will not stand for those.
Yeah. Ice cream.
Sorry. Ice cream. Yes. Hurting people or things. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Life lessons. Oh my gosh. Wow. We were doing so well. And then I took it to a whole new level. Maybe we should just hang out and, like, before this thing goes downhill.
Please hang up and try your call again. Sorry.
Or not. Well, what you can do is please subscribe to this podcast and or YouTube channel. We are talkingtoyourselfpod.com/talkingtoyourself on Instagram, which we will be active by the time that you hear this. It is our first episode after all. But please subscribe. And if you think that there's potential and something interesting here, we will appreciate your support and sharing of this podcast with others and your ideas, because otherwise all you're going to hear is the things that we care or the things that we care about and the things that we think you care about. But we'd rather actually hear what you care about so that we can talk about that which you care about. So give us your feedback, say hello, follow us on the socials, subscribe, et cetera, et cetera. But for today, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for hopefully laughing along with us. And yeah, we can't wait to hear from you. And thanks, Tracy. This was fun.
Thank you. Yes, so much fun. Have some ice cream.
Cool. I have brulee banana in my fridge. So, and it's about to be 12 o'clock where I am, which means that can be my lunch as a reward for getting through the podcast.
For sure. Absolutely. Protein.
Excellent.
Dinner. You're good. Okay.
Fruit. Yeah. Bye. Bye, everyone. See you next week.